Hello, I'm Chris Basden, an editor with AICPA's Journal of Accountancy. You're listening to the J of A podcast, where we talk about the key issues facing the accounting profession. Today on the podcast, we're going to talk about changes that were made in the recent revisions to the CPA exam and some additional changes that will be made due to tax reform. My guest today is Mike Decker, the AICPA's Vice President for Examinations. But before we get started, please take a few seconds to listen to a short message from our sponsor.
Did you know 75% of people now prefer to pay by credit or debit? With CPA Charge, you can let your clients pay their bill online and you'll get the reporting details you need for easy reconciliation. AICPA members can sign up at cpacharge.com/podcast and get your program fee waived for 6 months.
Welcome back. Hi, Mike. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Good. We're going to be talking about the CPA exam today. Can you tell our audience what your role is in regards to the development of the exam?
Sure. Again, Mike Decker. I'm the VP of exams for the AICPA, and I'm in my 10th year with the AICPA. And essentially, I lead a team of 70 staff in the Ewing, New Jersey office, and we're responsible for the development of the exam and the scoring of the exam.
Great. And the new CPA exam has been in the field for a while now. How have you gone about collecting some feedback on it?
Yeah, so we're always in that collective feedback role as we try to learn as much as we can about the exam, always looking to continuously improve the exam wherever we can. And that helps us meet our mission to ensure that the exam remains both relevant and current. So we're leveraging social media, interviews, surveys. We're out at conferences, educator conferences, state board meetings, state society meetings. We're working very closely with our partners, NASBA, the National Association of State Boards of Accountancy. We get candidate feedback and survey information during the exam when they sit for the exam at the Prometric test centers. Our psychometricians are always looking at the statistics and the exam results. And every once in a while, we'll go out and, you know, we hold surveys and speak directly to candidates. So we're always looking for, you know, how is the candidate feeling about the exam and all the constituents, how do they view the exam?
So along the lines of the candidate, you know, what kind of feedback have you gotten on it from the folks who are taking the exam?
Yeah, well, they always say it's too hard. So I can't comment on the difficulty of it, although it is consistent, which is something we pride ourselves on. You know, from an administration perspective, the candidates want a test as often as they can, and they want it to be as convenient as they can. So they're very frustrated with the score holds, and we've had to put score holds in place for certain reasons as we roll out either new software or new content. They want us to eliminate the windows where, you know, we do not test the last 20 days of each quarter. And we are actually looking at implementing what we call continuous testing. So we're working with NASBO and Prometric to see if a candidate can take the test at any one point in time. And one key feature of continuous testing would be the ability for a candidate to retake a failed section within a window. So we're working with our partners, and hopefully that you know, continuous testing's on the horizon. And then lastly, they always want a faster score reporting. So when they sit for the exam, they want to know right away, hey, how did I do?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And on that, where are you at with that right now? And, you know, what do you see in the future in terms of time for them to get that information?
Yeah, so historically, since 2011, we've been able to release scores in 20 days. So a lot of that is to ensure that when we bring the results back to, you know, our Ewing office and we run the data analysis on the items, you know, are standard, they're strong. And every once in a while, we could have a bad item that we don't score, you know, for a candidate. So I don't know if we can get any faster without a risk to quality. And that's why we were thinking about the continuous testing. If we can offer continuous testing and retaking of a failed section, the 20 days really doesn't play a part.
Sure, yeah, that makes sense. So the people taking the exam aren't the only stakeholders. What about academics and firms? They obviously have a big interest in the exam. What are you hearing from them about it?
Yeah, they do. You know, we meet regularly with the educators across the country, And I think the good thing is they support the assessment of critical thinking, you know, higher level skills. They like the idea of assessing professional skepticism, situational judgment. And many of the teachers have evolved their curriculums beyond sort of fact-based learning and sort of at the remember and understand level. They're asking their, you know, students to understand not only what something might mean, but how it is applied, and then to have to present on it or to offer perspective on it. So the educators, I think, are very supportive of the exam, and for them to know what's coming with the exam is very helpful as well.
So the exam will be seeing some more changes in the near future due to the Tax Reform Act. Isn't that right? Can you tell us a little bit about those?
Yeah, so the Tax Reform Act, I guess, was signed late 2017, and it impacted hundreds of our questions in the reg section. So we worked with our constituents and with the Board of Examiners that oversees everything we do, and we got approval to launch the new version of reg, which assesses tax, in January of 19. And what this allows our constituents to do is it allows the teachers to come up to speed on the new law. It allows them time in textbooks to be printed and gives them time to educate the students. And it gives the people in practice much of their tax returns that are being, delivered in 2018. You know, there's tax extensions, you know, almost out till October of 2018. So we didn't think it was fair to launch it before the students were familiar. So we'll be ready for January of 19 to launch that new section.
Great. I believe you're also going to initiate a practice analysis. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Yeah, so historically, the BOE policy is that we execute a practice analysis no longer than every 7 years. And you have to conduct a practice analysis when there's a sizable shift in the knowledge and skills required for a newly licensed CPA. And those changes are usually due to a change in the profession, change in automation, technology, tools that are used, something like that. We know that every 7 years is no longer applicable. That's way too long, you know, to be thinking about a practice analysis. At the same time, we're heavily focused on audit. It appears as if audit is the area of the exam that is, you know, incurring the greatest change. Audit data analytics, blockchain technologies, you know, just automation in so many different areas. So we do think that for some of the smaller changes, we can implement blueprint changes and small changes to content through our regular governance structure, but major changes we're going to need a practice analysis. And the key is when does that automation and technology change hit that 2-year level? So we think a practice analysis of just the audit sections on the horizon. We're not sure when, but we're pretty sure it's coming.
I see. So there's also going to be some, for lack of a better word, like physical changes related to the experience of taking the exam as well. Tell us a little bit about those.
Yeah, so we've been in development of, you know, our test driver, which is the software that runs in Prometric test centers that actually presents the exam to the candidate. So we've been developing that driver software for a few years now, and we launched it April 1st of 2018. It was a resounding success. Candidate feedback was entirely positive. And essentially what the software does, it's a clean user interface, it's web-based, but essentially what the software does is the item is always presented or anchored on the left side. So the simulation would be anchored on the left side. And then on the right side, whether it's documents, graphics, the authoritative literature, the calculator, and also in this version of the software, we've implemented the use of Excel for candidates that want to do some minor calculations. So all of those tools and the documents can either be cascaded or windowed on the right side. So while the candidate doesn't have two monitors, the software mimics two monitors, and then they can, you know, resize the right side of the screen with having the question sort of anchored on the left side of the screen. So we're real excited about not only that it was launched successfully, but that with the fact that it's web-based, maybe in the future we could test in remote locations, And we believe that Excel sets the stage for our assessment of audit data analytics and the data interpretation assessment that, you know, we also think is coming.
Thanks, Mike. And I'd also like to thank our audience for listening today. If you enjoyed this podcast, check out more JFA podcasts on our website and on Podomatic.
This podcast is designed to provide illustrative information with respect to the subject matter covered and does not represent an official opinion or position of the AICPA or AICPA.org. It is provided with the understanding that the AICPA and AICPA.org are not engaged in offering legal, accounting, or other professional service. If such advice or expert assistance is required, the services of a competent professional person should be sought. The AICPA and AICPA.org make no representations, warranties, or guarantees as to, and assume no responsibility for, the content or application of the material contained herein, and especially disclaim all liability for any damages arising out of the use of, reference to, or reliance on such material.